keep your hand on your gun.
Organizers are putting their progressive message front and center on this Friday, and they say they want to see higher taxes on the rich. Tax the rich. ICE abolished and wars opposed. Those are some of the rallying cries behind today's protests that our critics are now saying are flat out un-American. So these May Day walkouts and staffing issues are disrupting schools, our kids' educations, especially in blue states and cities like Madison, Wisconsin, like Chicago. Out in North Carolina, more than 20 districts are affected by these protests. One Wisconsin mom says, This is more than just a day off.
I'm in shock, although maybe I shouldn't be considering the history of the Madison Metropolitan School District, but they are turning schools into political staging grounds, and this is where they have crossed the line. They are not just indoctrinating the kids in the classroom. They are encouraging actively for students to leave the classroom and go march in the streets with teachers, with administrators.
The Chicago Teachers Union already pushing for a full day off for students. Here is the message that I put out there. Quote, we are not living through ordinary times. His agents are tear gassing. Our neighborhoods are talking about Donald Trump. Our students have something to say. And we as educators have a responsibility to speak up and support them in finding their voice, their vision, their agency, and their place in the community. They're talking about your kids. Our senior correspondent, Mike Tobin, is in Chicago waiting for these protests to kick off. Hi, Mike.
And this is where it's going to start, Aisha. You can see some people are showing up already with pop-up tents and some of their pickets that they're going to carry through these demonstrations, ultimately marching into Chicago's loop. It's a big day for the American left, advocating everything from the Democratic Party to socialism. You got some 600 groups, including communists, with a $2 billion budget that are funding some 3,000 protests. Now, here in Chicago, the very powerful Chicago Teachers Union had advocated for the day off of school so the students could attend these rallies. The superintendents of schools shut that down but struck a compromise to provide school buses at the end of the day so the students could attend these rallies.
This is just a move of the political left, and the unions are really a political party. They're a left-wing political party in Chicago and other major cities.
It's absolutely absurd, and it really speaks to the distraction that the teachers union is bringing into classrooms. This really amounts to a state-sponsored protest at the end of the day.
Now, acknowledging that one out of five CPS eighth graders can read at grade level, and fourth graders, you've got one out of four that are up to speed across all of the curriculum. The students were in school today, but the curriculum was changed. According to Channel 5, the curriculum includes social justice and transgender rights classes all the way down to kindergarten level. Now, here at Union Park, where it's supposed to get started, we don't really have any crowds started yet, but wait till school gets out and the buses start rolling. Aisha.
Okay, Mike Tobin, live for us in Chicago. Mike, thank you very much. Here at Fox News, we've been doing some deep researching, and it reveals that the size and scope of the organizing power behind today's May Day protests, about 600 groups with a combined annual revenue, $2 billion involved in all of this. And that includes the Democratic Socialists of America. They're pumping money into it, along with the People's Forum, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, Answer Coalition, and Code Pink. We've all seen those protesters on Capitol Hill. Now, some of those have ties to communist China. The economic cost of their calls for no school, no work, no shopping could total somewhere between $2 billion.
And, of course, this is just the practice run, as we've been telling you for a while. And as Carolyn Boroshenko at Dr. Carolyn B on X, May Day 2026 is a practice run. It's a structure test to see how many people they can get to protest. The real strike will come in 2028 when every major union is working together to shut down the economy for an extended period of time, led by the United Auto Workers. Basically, every major union in America is planning on May Day 2028 to launch a communist revolution, shut down the economy until their demands are met, which include every communistic demand you can imagine. So be prepared, folks. They're training your kids.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the website. Alex Jones Live. Share that link right now. And I'm trying to lay out a sort of complicated argument here because it spirals out into a lot of different topics. But there's a through line that I'm trying to illustrate. And it's about Western culture and the way it's being infiltrated and subverted and the way in which Israel is being set up to be a global government capital that includes the Jewish diaspora around the entire world as its citizens, and how they're setting up the infrastructure for that creation as we speak. And again, I want to be sort of careful doing this because I think it's important to highlight what's going on and what's motivating the people who are carrying out these policies, while at the same time, you know, not succumbing to the worst anti-Semitic tropes out there. But it's hard. They're hard to avoid. I'll be honest with you. So, you know, we read earlier the article from that Jonathan fellow where he was pretending to be a white person and telling other white people, hey, we got to just be extinct. We got to go extinct. And that's good and righteous. And we have to not just allow ourselves to be extinct, we have to actually fight for the right of non-white people to take over our countries, displace us demographically, and eradicate us completely. So that's very like sort of stereotypical trope almost in and of itself. But there's, you know, it happens more often than you might think. Yesterday, head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, was being questioned in Congress. I don't think I have the video, but he was asked something and he came back at the probably Democratic representative and made a disparaging mark and a mocking remark about your all-white country club, you know, because obviously it's a safe thing to do to insult and diminish white people and act like white people having a place of their own is some sort of attack. It's hateful. It's bigoted. It's vicious. Just like, no. Okay, why would that be a bad thing exactly? But it's just accepted. It's just these are like brain implants that have been shoved into your mind against your will and against your consent by continual application of propaganda for every year of your life. And so now when people, you know, hear things like, you know, all white country club, ooh, they feel a little uncomfortable. They might not even know why or be able to justify it, but if you say all Jewish country club, they go, yep, makes sense. Now, that's the imposition of skewed judgment. You should be able to see these things as completely equal. But that's not the way that our world's been created. So Daniel Concannon at Too White to Tweet on X said this about this statement from Lee Zeldin, basically going, you've got no room to talk because you belong to an all-white country club, which don't even really exist anymore. When he says that, he just means it's a majority white people. Literally anywhere where white people just exist is going to be declared bad and evil and wrong and hateful. So It doesn't have to be all white. Just like white people there at all is a problem. So here's what Daniel Concannon said. Lee Zeldin is an advocate of the Jewish ethnostate of Israel, where, as a Jew, he has the right of return. And that, again, is an important aspect of all of this, that it's not Israel alone. It's the diaspora as well. So Lee Zeldin is a Jewish person with the right to return to Israel, but he's happy to score points against a white senator for belonging to a quote-unquote all-white social club, despite knowing that the social club counts his fellow Jews among its elite membership. Truth doesn't matter. Calling it all white means Zeldin automatically wins the exchange because Team Red and Team Blue have both been conditioned to agree that anything all white must be inherently evil. Zeldin also knows that there's absolutely zero chance Zeldin Whitehouse, who describes himself as ardently pro-Israel, will turn the tables on him by pointing out the absurdity of critiquing an imaginary all-white social club in Rhode Island while being a leading voice for the Jewish ethnostate upon whose behalf we're currently at war. Yes, Lee Zeldin is a member of the he's actually the Republican Jewish Coalition Board of Directors. He's the House Republican Israel Caucus co-chair, Congressional Caucus on Black Jewish Relations founding member, repeatedly voted for measures restricting free speech to curb criticisms of Israel. So once again, it's not that this guy has a fundamental, objective opposition to ethnic supremacy. He's a member of all these exclusively Jewish groups. He advocates for Israel being an ethnostate. He wants to silence you for, disagreeing with them. He's in favor of his own group. He's in favor of his group having exclusivity, having places that are theirs, having, the ability to operate and represent themselves and advocate for themselves as a collective with a united interest. And he wants to disparage and diminish and destroy white people's ability to do just that. He's a hypocrite. He's not moral or principled. He's a liar. Yet no one in all of Congress will point out that the guy belittling the notion of an all-white club belongs to one ethnic group that has more ethnic interest organizations per capita than all others combined, many of which he has been honored by. Or that the only ethnicity he's willing to criticize is the only ethnicity functionally verboten from organizing their own ethnic interest groups. Neither man in this video is good for America. Sheldon Whitehouse is a progressive pile of garbage who would never defend white people. Lee Zeldin is an Israel first pile of garbage who will gladly use whiteness as a vector of attack to score political points. It's always safe to openly denigrate white people in the United States. We see time and time again there's no political cost because white people won't stand up for ourselves because we've been conditioned to believe that our continuing survival is somehow mean, somehow hateful against people that want to kill us. It's not. You got to get over that. Defend yourself from these people because they're dishonest liars that will use your values against you, but they don't hold those values. And then it gets a little bit deeper because at that same time that, Lee Zeldin is running the Israel First Caucus in Congress, you've got the Biden administration deliberately going out of their way to, in the most egregious way possible, target Christians in America. So, we don't have to do the, imagine if it was on the other foot. Everybody can recognize this. And everybody knows that if this headline said, DOJ uncovers numerous ways the Trump administration devastated the lives of many Jewish Americans, well, it wouldn't be something that was uncovered later. It would be something that was opposed at the time, and it would never happen. And obviously, it would be recognized as a Nazi-like move if it was Jews instead of white people. But this time, it's Jews doing it to white people, so it's not Nazi. It's something else. But it would be Nazi if it was the other way around, obviously. And obviously, if you heard that there were a bunch of people in the government that were using their position as law enforcement to specifically target not just Jewish people, but the most Jewish people. There's aspects of this story where it may have been Comey himself, but it may have been one of his underlings, was actually excited and was oh, if we're gonna be arresting nuns, I want to arrest the nuns that still wear that stupid habit that they wear. Right? So just imagine if oh, if we're gonna arrest Jews, I wanna arrest the Jews with those stupid side locks, that stupid hair they wear. Again, it's the most cliche thing ever. Imagine if it was the other way around. But well, the thing I'm pointing out is that in that situation, it wouldn't be speculation. You wouldn't have to ask for clarification. It would be obvious and clear. These people are motivated by anti-Jewish sentiment, and they have to be stopped. It's the same with these guys. These guys, like Alejandro Mayorkas or Merrick Garland, they're motivated by anti-white, anti-Christian sentiment. It's not that complicated. I mean, again, if a guy's throwing the Roman salute and goose-stepping with a swastika tattoo and he's targeting Jews, are you going to question, like, what his motivation is? It's just exactly the same situation. The Biden administration fought Christianity on every front. The Trump administration task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias said in a report released Thursday, no American should live in fear that the federal government will punish them for their faith. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said, as our report lays out, the Biden administration's actions devastated the lives of many Christian Americans. That devastation ended with President Trump. The Department of Justice will continue to expose bad actors who targeted Christians and work tirelessly to restore religious liberty for all Americans of all faith. Oh, well, good. I mean, it's the Christians that are being targeted, so maybe just focus on that. But no, I mean, we can't actually prioritize white people or Christians. We have to do stuff for everybody. And darn it, accidentally, Christians and white get included in that group. But you know, we should just be able to call out the attacks against our groups without having to, like, include other groups. Is that such a crazy thing to say? You never hear this the other way around. You never hear, oh my God, a synagogue got attacked. We really have to protect all faiths in this country. It's never a confusion when it's Jews being attacked, only Christians. Ultimately, the Biden administration penalized Christians who lived in accordance with their beliefs. This report noted that the Biden administration pushed its radical policy agenda, even when its actions infringed on Christian beliefs, free exercise, and on matters of deep personal importance to nearly every American: life, family, marriage, self-identity, education, moral decisions, and more. The release said President Joe Biden pushed policies to eliminate statutory protections for religious Americans that interfered with his policy goals. Although he failed to change federal law, under his direction, federal agencies used policy and regulatory means to accomplish the same goals, right? So it's like a crime. Like, you gave power to somebody saying, hey, you're here to, you know, stop fraud. And they went, okay, well, we're going to use it to target our religious enemies, the Christians. The report noted how DOJ prosecutors privately mocked Christian pro-life views as culty and lambasted defendants in open court for following the guidance of their beliefs. The Civil Rights Division sidelined Christians in favor of preferred constituencies. It published material suggesting Christians could not be victims of religious discriminations, only other groups. It said that religions cannot be victims of religious discrimination, just like white people can't be victims of racism, right? Because these made-up, nonsensical brain implant words mean nothing other than they hate white people and Christians. It's not that complicated. And I almost, you know, I didn't even pull in the video again. Because again, you know, my whole thing, there's so many videos. Like, if I wanted this to be a, you know, let's unmask Israel and the Jews hour, like, this was just, I could spend all day every day on that. I don't even like pull these videos in because it's not the point of this. But there is a, I don't know why they don't have it in this story, but you can see the text messages. Maybe the crew can pull them up of the FBI talking about this. And they literally say, you know, oh, we're going to go after nuns. I want to go after the ones that wear that stupid habit. That's what they call the dress, the clothes that nuns wear. And it's just kind of interesting because literally yesterday, this video got posted of an Israeli person running up and bashing a nun in Israel and, like, throwing her to the ground super hard. So it's just kind of interesting. That's just, like, there's something about nuns that just, like, makes these people angry and want to attack them. And so that's what I'm saying. Is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that you've got nuns being attacked in Israel and nuns being sued by the Biden Justice Department for not doing anything wrong, for simply living in accordance with their beliefs? Because then you have this. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, Israel's not safe for Christian. A 36-year-old Israeli terrorist brutally assaulted a 48-year-old French nun and researcher outside of a church in occupied East Jerusalem. The kosher thug repeatedly kicked her on the ground and another illegal settler watched and did nothing. And you can scroll down a little. We can see, yeah, here's the guy, the nun's walking down the street, minding her own business, and he slams her to the ground and starts kicking her. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure James Comey got a big laugh out of that. You know, I bet he loved it. Okay, so I'm just seeing a certain, you know, continuity of sentiment going on. And so then you have, you know, various people that are government appoints to various very important positions. Like this example, for example, Ambassador Mike Huckabee, who we all know well, he's the Israeli ambassador to America, or the other way around. It gets confusing. He said, "I'm pleased to meet Ambassador George Deek, Israel's envoy to Christians." Okay, so envoy, Israel has an envoy to Christians now, because people keep posting videos of how Israel basically abuses Christians continuously, and little children are taught to spit on Christians, and the government officials come out and say spitting on Christians is our sacred tradition, and what we're going to keep doing it. So, you know, Israel is sort of, they have a PR nightmare, PR emergency, where they're trying desperately to hide their hatred of Christians. It's not working very well. So Mike Huckabee says, there's this envoy to Christians. "Israel stands out as the only country in the region with a growing Christian population, and for good reason. Both our nations cherish religious liberty as the foundation of a free and prosperous country." No, they don't. What the hell are you talking about? Both our nations cherish religious liberty? Are you kidding me? It is a literal theocratic ethnostate. It is the Jewish state. What are you talking about, Mike Huckabee? Crazy. But that's not the point of this. But it is crazy. Dave DeCamp at DeCamp Dave on X says that George Deek, this Israel envoy to Christians, he was Israel's ambassador to Azerbaijan from 2019 to 2025, while Israel was arming Azerbaijan and helping it to complete the ethnic cleansing of Armenian Christians from Artsakh, where Azerbaijan is now destroying churches. Okay, so the Israel's envoy to Christians was actually their ambassador to Azerbaijan, while Azerbaijan was ethnically cleansing Christians from Armenia, one of the oldest Christian states in the world. I think it is the oldest Christian state in the world. Okay, so maybe not the best person to put as your Christian envoy, but it may have been the best person. I don't know. That may have been the best, which would be sad, but that's just the case. And everybody is, you know, realizing what's going on here. And again, you don't need to be a white person or a white nationalist to recognize how messed up this is. Let's go to clip 16 here. This is a Jewish person, by the way, Max Blumenthal, talking about who has been chosen to be the new chairman of the central bank, Kevin Warsh. Let's go to clip 16 now.
"I love my life and I would never do anything wrong. We gotta take this down. Said this video is about to get fucking insane."
Mislabeled. Do we have one with Max Blumenthal? If we have the Max Blumenthal video, I can sum it up for you, but essentially Kevin Warsh, it actually didn't take that long. Kevin Warsh is married to a woman whose last name is Lauder. That's from the Estee Lauder fortune. Ron Lauder is her dad. He is the president of the World Jewish Congress. So the World Jewish Congress's son-in-law is now going to potentially be the head of the Fed. And if we can find that Blumenthal clip, we will play it for you. So these are the type of people that are being appointed to positions of great power and influence. And they, of course, are sourced literally directly from the most elite Zionist families to be put in charge of our most important and powerful industries. The Federal Reserve. Kind of powerful. It's kind of a powerful thing. And of course, you've got here it is, the gray zone. Here's Max Blumenthal laying out exactly who's going to be potentially in charge of printing all of our money from now on. Let's watch.
"We talked earlier about the Israeli concoction of anti-Semitism, how anti-Semitism often is either faked or exploited in order to advance Israeli objectives and to justify Israel's existence as a supposed sanctuary for the Jewish people. There's a fascinating investigation taking place in Australia, and I think it will soon turn into some kind of cover-up. I tweeted about this.
You know, and this is actually
Australian police are investigating whether, quote, overseas actors or individuals are paying local criminals to carry out anti-Semitic crimes in the
country. This is the wrong video. Sorry. Again, this is it's nobody's fault. This is an aspect of the changeover. You'll notice I don't have my computer because I had to give it back because it was owned by InfoWars. So I'll get a new computer soon. I'll be able to actually throw to the correct clips. So that's my fault. But we're going to get to that. But trust me, we're going to get to that because I'm going to get into what's happening in Australia and UK here. But in summation, essentially, you've got people like Ron Lauder having his immediate family be put as the head of the Fed. And of course, this is being noticed by people. Like, this is becoming, there's a sort of arms race going on where Israel and the Jewish diaspora is trying desperately to crack down on people talking about their behavior. But that behavior of cracking down on people is actually inspiring more people to talk. And it's sort of becoming a feedback loop. And while InfoWars while the Alex Jones Network and AlexJonesLive.com continues pretty much uninterrupted into the future, Daily Wire is not exactly experiencing the same type of success. No, they've just laid off apparently about half of their journalists. Daily Wire layoffs hitting political journalists and reporters. Speculation is attributed to financial numbers and audience retention lower than expected. We're hearing that anger in the office is directed at real Candace Owens. How dare she? How dare she be fired by Daily Wire for telling the truth? And this is that was from Chief Trumpster, which is interesting. And I think it's exactly related to clip number two here, because while the Daily Wire is collapsing and failing and firing half of their people because nobody watches them anymore, Ben Shapiro thinks he has an answer to this. He thinks he has a solution. Let's go to clip number two here.
First of all, there's certainly a lot of truth to the idea that left-wing teachers are indoctrinating kids into a viewpoint on the world that does cross paths into, you know, what causes the symptom that is Jew hatred. I think that's for sure true. I think that the bigger danger when I look at young people right now is social media. Social media is a cesspool. I mean, if you spent any time on X at all over the course of the last couple of years, it is unusable, truly unusable. I mean, just a vile stream of trash. And I think that was true of TikTok as well. What do we do? I mean, I think that, you know, you only do what you can, meaning that I don't control the algorithms. Hopefully somebody who's more responsible now will help control the algorithms. I'm glad that TikTok was taken away from China. I'm not sure how much algorithmic control is given to the new owners. That's sort of the big question. I think that, you know, Elon should obviously boot the bots from his algorithm, because I think a lot of this is foreign bot driven. Frankly. Yeah. And I think the algorithm creates extraordinary virality. Yes, there's money being used, 100%. The extraordinary virality is being driven for unknown accounts. You can see it in your recommendations. I remember at one point I actually reached out to Elon's people directly about this. So, yes, I agree with you that young people are being faced with a plethora of bad information.
Well, bad for who, though? It's true information, but it's bad information. Okay, the truth can be bad if it goes against Ben Shapiro and his ethnic group. So it's bad information. So that's Ben Shapiro, who runs a failing media company that just fired half their people, talking about how he personally reached out to people he knows at Twitter to get them to try to correct the algorithm because it's showing things that, you know, he disagrees with. But don't worry. Don't worry, Ben. Your good friend Jonathan Greenblatt has that on lockdown. The algorithms are fully controlled. No need to fear bad information.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalist. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built, and we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So If I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our Methylene Blue is the best. Our Methylene Red is proprietary. Our Bovine Colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why callers call in and thank me. I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So again, I'm trying to lay out kind of a full spectrum argument here about what's going on in the world and what's actually motivating a lot of the things that we're seeing occur. So, you know, we start with video of an Indian guy explaining that morality is not universal. And what Americans think is just natural law is, in fact, a very specific set of, you know, moral principles that only apply to Western countries. It's Western morality, which is actually Christian morality, but only really in Western white dominated countries. And outside of that, like, those values are just not held by most people. Maybe some of them are, but certainly not the whole swath of, you know, deeply held beliefs that we have about fairness and objectivity and all this sort of stuff. And that same thing applies to Israel. And that's just obviously true because it's a matter of religion. Religion is a moral framework, and a different religion means a different moral framework. So then you have Tucker expounding on the hypocrisy of neocons and Israel firsters that will defend to the death the right for Israel to remain a Jewish ethnostate while decrying white ethnostates as the greatest expression of evil. Okay, another glaring hypocrisy that is not perceived as hypocrisy by them, since it's not a universal belief that they hold about ethnostates. Then you've got Lee Zeldin, Jewish guy, very Jewish identity oriented. It's very important to him. He's very Israel first. He's in all of the Jewish exclusive caucuses, you know, demeaning and denouncing somebody for being part of an all-white country club, since it's, you know, popular and acceptable to insult and attack white people, especially if you're presenting yourself as white, which is what we saw with the article from that Jonathan fellow who basically said, I'm white and all of us whites need to collectively allow ourselves to be killed or actually actively commit suicide, you know, to pay for our past transgressions. And then you've got the appointments that are made. And what's actually being created here, and which is being revealed in a strategic way. And I do believe that they are sort of boiling the frog here. They're slowly but surely inculcating us into this reality. It's like, yeah, Palantir is going to be in charge of everything. Don't worry about why. Yeah, Alex Karp is, yeah, he's going to be like kind of like a unelected king, I guess, but like that's fine. And that's sort of the structure that we're working with, is that there is a undeclared, unofficial, obviously unelected nobility in operation. And you'll see this over and over. This is why we talk about things like Wikipedia hopscotch. Go find who is the kid of who. Go find, you know, whose lawyer Anthony Blinken's stepdad was, right? Go find, just go scroll through the Epstein list for a little while, see what connections you come across there. And so it's not nobility in the traditional sense, where a power, an authority, a throne is passed on directly to the firstborn son. It's more of a corporate nobility, where people at the head of these important organizations or important industries or whatever are chosen from a few specific families and will always be somebody from one of those families, but you kind of got to prove yourself like that. Whoever, like those people in those families, they got to go to the right colleges that they always get in because, of course, and, you know, they got to sort of check the boxes and fill out their CV, but eventually, you know, they're basically guaranteed the spot. This is the case with the likes of Ron Lauder. And his son-in-law just happened to be the person put in charge of the Fed. Like, what a coincidence, right? And so, of course, this is sort of the globalist ruling class, the Epstein class, that Donald Trump is serving relentlessly. And we just heard Ben Shapiro, you know, brag about the fact that TikTok was being censored now that Donald Trump forced China to sell to Israel in exchange for taking 600,000 Chinese students, both hurting America and benefiting Israel, the perfect combination. And of course, Donald Trump was instrumental in getting CBS sold to the Ellisons. The Ellisons, of course, another major, like, kingpin family in all of this, the Pritzkers, the Ellisons, the Zeldins, probably, if I had to guess. And so 60 Minutes was forced basically to be sold to this utterly incompetent bimbo, Barry Weiss. 60 Minutes journalist decries spread of corporate meddling and editorial fear as Barry Weiss fires a well-respected and long-working journalist for not being sufficiently deferential and supportive of Barry Weiss's particular ethnostate, Israel. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Glenn Greenwald talking about this woman who was fired by Barry Weiss for not being pro-Israel enough. Let's watch.
Now, the question is, who is this person that Barry Weiss just elevated to all international coverage for CBS News after firing a woman who was too balanced on the questions of Gaza and Iran, wasn't devoted enough to Barry Weiss's agenda of state TV for Israel? I need to show you who she is. I was even shocked. Even as much as I know Barry Weiss, I've been writing about Barry Weiss. I know Barry Weiss. I know exactly who she is. She's been trying to get people fired who are insufficiently supportive of Israel or critical of Israel since her days at Columbia, despite rebranding herself as an icon of free speech and leaving the New York Times by claiming the New York Times is illiberal because it suppresses views that deviate from its orthodoxy. So ironic, since that's exactly what she's there to do at CBS News and is doing. So I just need you to see this, who this person is that she just put in charge of all international coverage for CBS News after firing the longtime London editor because of concerns about her coverage of Gaza and Iran. Here's Barry making the announcement on X yesterday. Incredible news out of CBS News this morning. Incredible, incredible. Shida, that's Shida Rice, joins us as foreign editor. Shinji has it all. She's a scoop hound reporter, a brilliant editor, and a clear-eyed leader. She's also curious, dogged, exacting, and tireless. More here. Okay. Shinda is none of those things. What she is completely embedded in the Israel First community in the United States and has proven that she exploits and abuses her journalism, often alienating her colleagues, to serve the interests of Israel, which is what CBS News is for, which is what the Ellisons are there buying up media to do. I just can't believe what a caricature Barry Weiss chose. Like, choose someone more subtle. So she lives in Tel Aviv with her husband, Dov Weiss, and she has been involved very recently in a major journalistic scandal. You may recall that there was reporting that the UN Agency for Human Rights, UNRWA, that operates in Gaza, that was the only agency feeding starving people in Gaza, delivering medicine, was accused of being part of Hamas, basically. This came from Wall Street Journal reporting. It was a big scoop. It actually led the Biden administration to cut off funding for UNRWA by claiming it was part of Hamas. This all came from the Wall Street Journal. The editor of that story was Shinda Rice. And the problem is that it seems to have collapsed completely, even according to the Wall Street Journal.
All right, so do you understand what they just said? So this woman that Barry Weiss just, she fired a well-respected and, you know, 20-year veteran of CBS News because she wasn't sufficiently pro-Israel. So she hired a woman who's Israeli, lives in Tel Aviv. And it's like, he's like, I don't know why she would be this blatant. It's like, because why not? Because what are you going to do? Stop her from doing it? You're anti-Semitic. Sorry. So of course that's going to happen. And the woman she hired is a woman who is a mercenary journalist. She uses journalism to achieve war ends. Do you understand that? That Israel wants to take Gaza, so they want to kill all of the Palestinians, so they're starving the Palestinians. UNRWA, the UN aid organization, was giving food to the people they were trying to starve. And so in order to stop them from giving food, they came up with a fake lie that this woman wrote in an article about UNRWA being Hamas so that people in America, who I'm sure know the truth but need an excuse, like, this is the way it works. Like, hey, UNRWA is feeding the children we're trying to kill. This is interfering with our war aims. We need an excuse to shut them down. Okay, I'll write an article saying that they all work for Hamas. Thanks. Now I'll shut them down saying, oh my gosh, they're all Hamas. It is a total fabrication, a total lie. But that's the way journalism is used in war to achieve war aims. Lie about the people helping your enemies so that America has an excuse to cut off the aid to the innocent children you're trying to kill. So this is what's motivating them. They see themselves as being a, you know, functionary of the Israeli government and the Israeli military, and they use their journalism to achieve Israeli war aims. And so that's what Barry Weiss is doing, and that's what Donald Trump helped her doing, and that's what Larry Ellison is involved in doing, because that's their people, that's their motivation, that's their ultimate loyalty. And then you have this, and this is pretty interesting. So we'll start with this one. I don't even know how to pronounce this name on X. Kumashun says, Bangladesh just announced they plan to send Japan 6 million workers. Bangladesh plans to send Japan 6 million workers. Now, if you don't know, Bangladesh used to be called East Pakistan. It's in India. It's a province in India that is essentially Muslim, and so it became its own nation. But it's essentially Muslim Indians live in Bangladesh. And apparently they're sending 6 million of them to Japan. Why would Japan, which is functionally an ethno state right now, why would it open its border to 6 million migrant Muslim Bangladeshis? What would possibly compel somebody to do that? Because they've got robotics. They might have an elderly population, but, you know, somebody commented on that. 6 million Bangladeshis legitimately will do more damage to Japan than either of the nuclear bombs. It will disrupt it forever, right? That's what happens when you change some country's demographic, it never gets back. And of course, the Japanese government just met with Bangladesh officials yesterday, and the news came out today. Japanese minister seeks faster progress on key projects in meeting with PM Tariq. And so then the person that posted this, or Global Observatory posted this, I thought this was sort of an interesting breakdown, because often you'll hear these sort of, attempts to obfuscate who's compelling this type of inexplicable action, right? Japan, beautiful place, ethno-state, which is one of the reasons why they're so capable of managing things. You know, it's stuff like Tokyo has like many times more population than New York City and runs at like a quarter of the budget as New York City. Look up the stats. Tokyo and New York. Tokyo has like tens of millions more people, but runs on like a quarter of the budget, because they aren't having to spend a bunch of money on people spraying graffiti and trashing the place and destroying the subway. And I mean, it's like Tokyo, you can eat off the floor in the subways and not be sick. You can leave your bike on a sidewalk for days on end. Nobody's going to steal it. They don't have all the problems that we have, many of which come from the diversity that we're supposed to think is our greatest strength. And so, when people look at this and they go, hey, look, it looks like there's a lot of like Jewish groups that are behind all of the migration push. And they seem very proud of it and patting themselves on the back for their successful campaign. And then you're told, no, you can't blame. It's the liberals. It's the left. It's the whoever else they want to blame. When it comes to Japan, it's an interesting question. As Latoria puts it, what are the, quote, everybody but the Jew reductionist saying about Japan being flooded with blacks and browns, with foreigners? It can't be the left. Japan is a one-party state, LDP, and this party would be far right in Europe. It couldn't be pathological altruism. The Japanese are known for being xenophobic, even by East Asian standards. You can't blame Christianity or liberal female voters, often the whipping boy or, people that this is blamed on. The answer in Japan is the same as it is in the White West. We all lost World War II, and now we're at the mercy of Jewish international finance and the violence of their Washington Empire. All of the analysis beyond that is proven wrong by the day. Is that wrong? I don't know. Seems to make sense to me. Now, one interesting wrinkle in it is that the LDP, the Liberal Democrat Party that has run Japan for the last like 100 years, was actually founded by the CIA in furtherance of the Project Phoenix drug running operation that created the Iran-Contra scandal. So, and it's well known, acknowledged on the Liberal Democrat Party Wikipedia page, it says it was founded by the CIA with a big influx of CIA money. So it is America as the functionary throughout all of this. But it kind of struck me because the prime minister of Japan is supposed to be this far right person. She was called like the Trump of Japan, and people made a big deal out of it. And then she came to America and met with Trump and was very, fangirling over him and loved him. She's almost like a Japanese female Javier Milei with like her exuberance all the time. But I remember when she came to America, she had two particular meetings. She met with President Trump in the White House, and then she met with the real rulers of America. And it was funny because I asked Grok about this. I was like, I think I remember when she was here, when the Japanese prime minister was in America, I was like, didn't she meet with like Miriam Adelson? So I searched Grok and I said, who did she meet with? Who did the prime minister of Japan meet with? And Grok is like, she met with Donald Trump. She had a state dinner and she met many people while at dinner with Donald Trump. And I had to be like, okay, but didn't she meet with like Miriam Adelson and stuff? And Grok's like, oh yeah, you're right. Actually, she did, totally did that. This was a former dinner reception that followed the bilateral summit. The dinner was not a private one-on-one meeting between Takaichi and Adelson. It was a large group event with U.S. and Japanese officials, plus American business and tech leaders, including Alex Karp, the CEO of Palantir, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, and Masayoshi Son, the SoftBank CEO. Some of these attendees, Adelson, Karp, and Fink, are prominent Jewish Americans, though official coverage focused on broader mix of political donation. So she met with the public-facing ruler of America. And then she had a private dinner with the actual rulers of America. And perhaps it was something discussed at this dinner that led to Japan almost immediately opening up its border to millions and millions and millions of incompatible foreigners. It's pretty interesting. They're not liberal. They're not Christian. They don't have like a problem with, you know, liberal, progressive, socialist brainwashing of their children, telling them to hate themselves. What could explain the sudden desire to destroy their own demographic makeup? And does it have anything to do with the fact that apparently Maria Madison, Alex Karp, and Larry Fink met with the Prime Minister of Japan days before that decision was made? I wonder. I really do. I mean, I don't. I know. I'm pretty sure. So then we get to London, UK, Europe, and Australia. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the discrepancy in response between the continuous, practically innumerable examples of white British people, girls especially, being attacked, killed, raped, murdered by hostile immigrants, the reaction in that situation versus the reaction when two Jewish people are stabbed, even though they survive, fortunately, by a schizophrenic Somali person. So we'll go to clip number 13 here. This is a news report in England about this terror attack that is inspiring just like fundamental changes in the entire, you know, UK justice system. This is clip 13. This is about the stabbing of the Jewish people in UK. Let's watch.
Who has been charged with the attempted murder over the stabbings that took place in Golders Green, North London. Two Jewish men there has been remanded in custody after appearing at Westminster Magistrates Court. We'll bring you more on that with our correspondent who has been camped outside Westminster Magistrates Court this morning. So we'll get more with her shortly.
Okay. So the interesting thing about that coverage right there, the Golders Green stabbing, is she says they've now remanded into custody the man who stabbed the two Jewish men. Here's the thing, though. The guy stabbed three people. He stabbed two Jewish guys and a Muslim guy. But when they report it, they literally don't even mention the Muslim guy. Because that might make you think maybe the guy wasn't motivated by anti-Semitism, so maybe all of the measures taken to combat anti-Semitism as a consequence of this stabbing aren't actually accurate because he wasn't just stabbing Jews, he stabbed a Muslim guy as well. So they literally just ignore that guy. They just say, yeah, he stabbed two Jews. That guy who stabbed two Jews, he's been arrested. No, he also stabbed a Muslim guy. They don't even bring that up. That's a little suspicious, isn't it? It's a little weird. It's a little bit of narrative crafting right in your face there. Man appears in court over attempted murder of three people in London knife attack. Essie Solomon, accused of stabbing two Jewish men in Golders Green, and Ishmael Hussein in South London. But they completely ignore the attack against the Muslim because that would cause a wrinkle and a discrepancy in the otherwise very solid narrative being spread that this was an anti-Semitic attack and fighting anti-Semitism is the only way to stop something like this happening again. Now, as you know, as you should know by now, this has happened over and over and over again in the UK, only not against Jews. And yet they'll arrest you for talking about it if you're white and if it's an attack on a white person. As people point out, where was this sort of coverage for Wayne Broadhurst, another person stabbed by a Muslim? White people are targeted, killed, and raped every day. But if you attack a random Jew and the press acts like it's 9/11 and it's all these headlines from the Mirror, the Daily Mail, everywhere. Anti-Semitism out of control, terror on Brit streets. The Jew hate is out of control, terror attack on UK Jews. Okay, nobody even died. Not to downplay it, I'm sad the guys got stabbed. I'm glad they didn't die. But this is what I'm talking about. It's not like, oh, white people get stabbed. It's not that big of a deal. Jewish people get stabbed. It is. White people get raped and murdered and blown up and destroyed, and it's don't look back in anger. Jewish people get stabbed with a nail file and it becomes a, you know, wall-to-wall coverage for a week. Now, interestingly, the guy who did the stabbing had actually already stabbed people before, but they weren't Jews, so it was fine. The guy stabbed two cops, then they gave him citizenship in the UK, then he stabbed two Jews, and now it's a big deal and a big issue. But he already stabbed two cops, and they gave him citizenship in exchange for that. So then you have stuff like this. The government has announced an extra £25 million to increase police patrols and security in Jewish communities. So nothing like this ever happened to white people. When the Southport riots occurred, when the Southport protest occurred after the murders, they're basically told anybody, you know, standing up for white people is a terrorist themselves and will be arrested. And they did. They arrested people like mothers and fathers for, you know, accidentally posting inaccurate information on Facebook. They cracked down like knowing about the crime was a crime in and of itself. Not the case when Jews are attacked. Again, if it was both, if it was, hey, white people got attacked, we're sending £25 million, we're going to have police patrols, we're going to make sure this doesn't happen to you. Great, wonderful. Hey, Jews got attacked, we're going to send $25 million to them too. Great, makes sense. Very equal, very just. That's not the case. And this is the case around the world, that anytime anything happens that can even remotely be associated with anti-Semitism, millions and millions and millions of dollars are given to the Jewish community to protect and arm themselves. And that never, ever, ever happens with Christians or white people. And this sort of goes with the BBC coverage that we just showed as well. Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'll just say you've done a badass job. And so is the crew, and so the listeners. This is really blowing up their face, and I love you, Harrison.
I love you too, Alex.
I've always liked you, but I really love you. We have come through this together, and the people have really been financially supporting us. We're going to hire a bunch of other hosts and stuff. Just keep supporting us. And you watch. We will not let you down. We will fight like the devil against the devil.
Amen. Love you, brother. Great job. Amen. Thank you very much, sir. All right, folks. You know, we only got about a minute left here, but I hope you're enjoying our new studio. It's looking great. We got these new cameras up. It's looking awesome, Alex, honestly.
And we got big ones. You know, the bigger ones getting built.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the secret Death Star. We don't talk about that.
The second Death Star. That's right.
It's going to be better than the first Death Star.
I'm excited. And I'm trying to like.
I feel so good.
I know, but I'm not trying to downplay it because it's crazy what happened to us. But at the same time, it's like a wet blanket's been lifted. It feels great.
And the listeners, I thought, they knew it was real, but we survived so much, they didn't take it serious. Now, majors. Support, it's over the top.
Well, good, excellent.
Hey, you've been here. There ain't none of this fake, man.
It's not fake.
I'm too much of a wild man, so arrogant. You think I got energy in my processor to be fake, bro? Great job to the InfoWars crew.
Well done, everybody.
And that means all the listeners and viewers. You're a bigger crew than you know it. You're the whole damn shooting match. Thanks to you.
Amen. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com to make sure we never stop. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on Monday.
Because of God's providence, I was able to get on air in 1994. By 1996, I had a local radio show with number one ratings because Freedom's popular. By 97, I was syndicated. God's hand has been on this operation. It's incredible. We set up InfoWars, the URL, in 1997, 28 years ago. And finally, the Democrats, after almost a decade of attacks, have been successful shutting it down. But they don't control the InfoWar because the InfoWar is not a URL. It is we the people. It is you. And that's where we are right now. So our enemies hope and pray they can claim we've been defeated and you believe the lie and go back to sleep. It's not going to happen. We together, not just myself, but the viewers and listeners and our guests and our crew, are the epicenter of the Great Awakening against the globalist Great Reset. So this is your mission if you choose to accept it. Take these two URLs. AlexJonesLive.com for all the news articles, all the videos, the live streams, and hit your email list, your text message list every day and say, the forbidden information is here, AlexJonesLive.com. And then, this URL is just as important, AlexJonesApp.com, where you can download on Android and on Apple the free Alex Jones app with our live feeds, news, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so critical. We have people power. It will override the AI. It will override the globalists. But you have to get excited, and you have to take action. The Alex Jones Network is launched. AlexJonesLive.com is launched. AlexJonesApp.com is launched. Now the ball is in your court in this victory as true patriots, as the vanguard of the resistance against tyranny, as modern Paul Revere's, to take your ride. Do it now and share those URLs, and we are unstoppable.
Days. days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.